Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good Tuesday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny, April 16th, 2024. Boy, do we have a show for you. Boy, do we have a sports day for you in the nation's capital. Daniel, it's beautiful outside.
Yeah.
Spring has sprung, and playoff hockey is in the air, an elimination game in a lot of ways for the Capitals tonight. Win, and they are in to the playoffs for the 15th time in 17 years, something I don't take for granted. The Commanders have all of the quarterbacks who might get drafted this year sitting shoulder to shoulder in boardrooms right now over in Ashburn, talking to each other and interacting as they're vying for the same job, which is a fascinating way to go about these meetings. Meanwhile, the Wizards season just ended. You had the WNBA draft last night with the Mystics taking a pick in the top 10. And, oh, by the way, the Nationals beat the Dodgers behind the inaugural start of Mitchell Parker.
Yeah.
Who did something no Nats pitcher's done since Strasmus way back 14 years ago. Other than that, just a home 24 hours in D.C. sports.
That was pretty cool, by the way. What a nice little dessert on the evening, right? Caps win a game against Boston. You wouldn't know that Boston needed the game. 2-0 shutout. I think that's Chucky's sixth of the year, if my numbers are correct there, among the league leaders in that particular category. Caps were awesome. That was really, really cool. Then, you know, if you're still up, your TV's still on, you flip on over, you see a little late night Nats, then beating one of the best teams in baseball behind, as you mentioned, Mitchell Parker. That was really, really cool. I loved his, he strikes out Mookie Betts, which, by the way, and get tested, young man. How about that to start off your pro career? There's Mookie Betts, there's Shohei, there's Freddie Freeman, just juggernauts up and down. But he gets the strikeout of Mookie Betts, and his mom is just going ham sandwich in the outfield. Like, just a reminder, you know, like how excited I get when my little guy, you know, kicks the ball in the general direction of the goal, and now that's at the pro level, striking out the pretty much an MVP candidate seven times over in that Dodgers lineup. That was really neat.
Yeah, his mom was living and dying with every pitch, and I can't imagine what that must be like. You know, before I had kids, you watch something like that, and you're like, okay, calm down. It's going to be okay. Cool off a little bit. But now you kind of get it more. Because she's more nervous than he is. The anxiety, I'm sure, is through the roof. But, yeah, it was a great scene. Let's work our way through, really, the last 24 or so hours in D.C. sports. We got to start with the Caps today. They are in Philly. They trained up last night, got there a little after midnight, got into the hotel downtown. They will be playing at Wachovia Center, where they are trying to win to get into the playoffs. In a season in which, Danny, at a bunch of different points, they were left for dead. In fact, they left themselves for dead, if you want to suggest that. They traded off at the deadline. They moved on. But this started way back when with Backstrom stepping away, all but retiring. Alex Ovechkin couldn't buy a goal for a couple of months. Then at the deadline, they said, we're not good enough. We're going to sell. Anthony Mantha, who was having arguably the best season at that point on the team, gets traded to Vegas. Yevgeny Kuznetsov, after years in the organization and many seasons where they were waiting on him coming back around, gets dealt. Joel Edmondson, from a thin blue line, had some value, so they shipped him out. They would have probably traded Max Pacioretty, but he said no. I think if Nick Gaud was healthy, who's been a monster for them the last couple of games, both wins here down the stretch, he would have been healthy. They were demanding a first-round pick for him. One of their other defensemen, Ethan Bear, is in the player program right now dealing with some personal issues. Tom Wilson got suspended during their stretch run. TJ Oshie's been in and out of the lineup constantly as his back routinely locks up. Then during this playoff push, Rasmus Sandin, a defenseman who plays 21 minutes a night, number two on the team, went down, has been unavailable. We were at the game, you and I, on Saturday night when Nick Jensen, who plays 19 minutes a night and is top 30 in the National Hockey League in time on the ice on the penalty kill, gets stretchered off the ice motionless for minutes on end. He's not playing again tonight, hasn't been available in their last five periods. We don't know if Beck Malenstein will play tonight, but they played down a man without him for the final period last night in the win. And Spencer Carberry's boys just keep on coming, and they battle, and they're trying to turn a rebuild year where a lot of kids have been playing and where they stockpiled draft picks for their veterans available at the deadline into a potential playoff berth tonight. This has been a really fun, unexpected journey if you're a Caps fan who stuck it out all year long.
It's all about scale and context and relativity. And here's what I mean. In 2013, the Nationals, coming off a 98-win season, won 80-some games, I think, but were viewed as a disappointment because our expectations were high. While this year is happening, this was, if everybody that you mentioned who got traded away was on the roster, this is about where a lot of people thought they'd be, right? Like a fringe playoff team. Things break right, they could be the 7th seed, 8th seed. If things don't, they'll miss the playoffs as they did last season. And that was kind of the viewpoint. After you, as you said correctly, the assessment is, hey, we're going to move on from some of these expensive pieces, the Manthas, the Kuznetsovs, et cetera. We've had so many injuries and so many things that shouldn't, that should be getting in the way of us achieving. And all of a sudden to find themselves in this spot with some of these runs and some of these games that they've had to dig deep. I mean, listen, you go back over the last month plus, there are several games that jump out at you. You go, man, if they just managed a point against Arizona, who's awful, if they just manage an overtime loss against Montreal, who's terrible, this whole thing would be over. But, you know, that's kind of the road they've had to take. They've had to take the toughest road possible to get here, to be in this spot, and they've got a great opportunity this evening. And, of course, it's on a back-to-back. And, of course, their opponent's well-rested. Of course, it's going to be the most adverse possible situation because how else could this particular group do this? So it really is neat, man, because not all experiences are created equal. If this is that Stanley Cup window team doing this, you and I would be, I think maybe me more than you, would be disappointed, be frustrated by it. That's not the case. They shouldn't be here with their second goalie who's taken over as their first goalie leading the way. This is awesome. I'm having so much fun watching this group kind of scrounge and try to make their way in.
Yeah, it's complicated because I'd like to say this is a house money game and a house money rest of the season, but now you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way other than to acknowledge that it would be a big letdown and it would sting if they don't make the playoffs. Now, give me a day or two and I'd be able to make sense of how unlikely this was, what an incredible accomplishment it was for Spencer Carberry, really that the organization for the first time in a few years is in a really healthy spot going into the offseason in terms of having some money to spend to go add some firepower, some money coming off the books. And not only that, but they have 8 guys playing critical minutes right now, Danny, who were on the Hershey Bears Calder Cup team in the AHL last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they have gotten younger. The skating speed has improved. They're now middle of the pack in the NHL in that regard. So there's a lot of things I could tell myself come tomorrow or the day after if they don't get in to make it feel okay. But 81 games down, one to go. You know, there's 60 or so minutes of hockey standing between them and a playoff berth, which is as much fun for me as you can have as a sports fan, playoff hockey. And a couple more home games. And can they beat the Rangers? Probably not. But because it's puck, let's see. I mean, weird things happen, right? It's a strange game, and we've been there. We've seen it. You've been the 1 seed, Caps fans. You know how those bounces can go. You know what it's like when Arsene Vlach gets really hot and steals a series from you, right? And Charlie Lindgren's the hot goalie right now. So they got to win another game against a more rested team on the road with the deck stacked against them without two of their key defensemen. And they're going to ask for another 31 minutes from John Carlson and 27 minutes from Martin Ferravari, who's all of a sudden become this linchpin. Guys like Alex Alexiev having to grow up in front of our eyes. I mean, it really has been amazing. And they probably shouldn't win tonight. But as I was joking with a couple of buddies on a text chain this morning, they got the Flyers right where they want them. The Flyers, who have allowed 2 goals in their last 2 games, both wins, who have had 2 days of rest. Caps played last night. They're going to have a goalie in Lindgren playing for the second time in 27 hours. Just a bunch of things that if you're a hockey bettor or something, you immediately go, oh, you got to jump on Philly tonight. For this team this year, throw the pucks out and let's see where it goes.
It's well put. I mean, again, the on paper, they're not here. On paper, they lose to Tampa Bay. on paper, they lose to Boston, who's still fighting for the division and has, what is it, like 25 more points than they do. Give or
take. By the way, how great was that last night? They gave up 16 shots before the game. I thought this was like just coach speak nonsense, but you and I were talking about this yesterday, that we knew they didn't have Sandin. We knew they didn't have Jensen. They're without Bear. So basically, they had three Hershey Bear defensive players that have been called up that are playing in some cases in their eighth NHL game last night, in other cases like career minor league journeymen who are going to be playing double-digit minutes for them. And you and I were kind of like, well, how do you even get by? And we had a guest on yesterday, I think it was John Walton, who said, you got to dominate puck possession. You got to just not give them chances to shoot. Easier said than done Bruins.
Oh, just do that, yeah, against Boston.
And then they had like nine shots with going into the third period. I've never seen anything quite like it, but it was they had to do something that's really, really hard to do, and they pulled it off to perfection.
They certainly did. And even with those limited number of shots, there were still a number of really high-danger chances where, of course, Charlie Lindgren's like, I got you, guys. I got you. No problem. I will rescue. I don't remember all the ones, but I'm sure. I think Pasternak had one that I was like, okay, that's a goal. I've already like chalked it up mentally as the tic tac toe is happening. As he's alone, he's in a dangerous spot. I'm going, okay, that's a goal. Can they get it back? And of course, Lindgren came up with save after save. So when he was tested, he was flawless. Again, this is just I'm running out of words and hyperbole and all the different superlatives to try to properly describe this. The way I'm phrasing it, it sounds like I'm criticizing it, and I don't mean to at all. They should not be here. They should not be in this position. There is nothing that when you start to look at any way to dissect it where you go, you know, what, 35% of their salary cap either doesn't play for them anymore or is a backup goalie or has been injured a ton, and here they are fighting for the playoffs. You already said it. They're down half of their defensive core, and they just shut out one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. They have eight guys that are on the Calder Cup roster, still probably for this year, and are still eligible probably. If they don't make it, they can go back down and play in the AHL, numbers approximate, and they're here. It's incredible. It's really, really fun. It's one of those cool reminders that not all sports achievements are created equal.
Yeah, 7 o'clock tonight. You can hear the game right here on The Fan. We've moved some things around, so we will have the broadcast on The Fan, and then the Dodgers and the Nats late-night game after that. So we've got live local programming as far as our play-by-play on the flagship home for the Caps and the Nats all night long. So going to be a really, really big day here for the station. I'm also on the TV side going to be doing one last ride on the Altcast train. So we will do an Altcast tonight. It'll be myself, former Cup hero Devontae Smith-Pelly, and former head coach Bruce Boudreau on the Altcast this evening. So Joby and Locker on Monumental 1 will be over on Monumental 2, Manningcast style, sitting on the couches enjoying the game. So come for the fellowship, stay for the hockey or something like that. Speaking of the Nationals, they beat the Dodgers last night, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's baseball. I know one game does not really mean a whole lot in the grand scheme of things. It happens. But boy, were they an underdog going into that game on paper. Mitchell Parker's major league debut against the best lineup on paper in the sport. He punches out Mookie Betts for his first career K, going 95 above the strike zone. He struck out Shohei in the game. He ended up not walking anybody through his five innings of work, which is a huge story for him because, frankly, his inability to throw strikes or to avoid walks has kind of been why he's not a more highly regarded prospect in the minors. Like, his stuff's pretty good. He struck out 150 last year, which was the most in the Nats system. But they had not had a starting pitcher in their debut win a first-ever game in the big league since Strasmas night that we always talk about, which was, what, June of 2010? Does that sound right?
Somewhere back there. Was it 09? Yeah, 10 maybe?
He was drafted in 09, yeah, so it would have been 2010. But yeah. I don't remember if it was June or July. I guess it would have been early June. June 10th stands out in my head. But regardless, that was the last time, Danny, the starting pitchers making their debut since, I think where I saw a stat yesterday, were like 0-11 with an ERA over 8 or something like that.
Just really, again, sports, dude. Sports. That's the best way to describe it, is what shouldn't be is sometimes, and that's why you play them. That's why you line up and do it. Again, and by the way, he's going up against Tyler Glass now, who's got stuff for days. And, of course, the Nats jump out. Get on top of them with a first inning run. End up, I think they were up 3-2 through three. Added three more in the fifth, rather. C.J. Abrams hits a bomb. He's a star. Everyone, please acknowledge it. Point to the star. It's C.J. Abrams. That's who I'm pointing at. He's special. It's so much fun to watch him. But man, oh man, like, you coming off losing a couple of terrible games in Oakland that they really should have won at least, you know, one of those two when they lost 2 out of 3 and probably should have swept them, to be honest with you. And you're just going, okay, here's where it starts. You get your teeth kicked in by one of the class actions or the classes of baseball. And there you go. You get a rookie coming up in shoves, and he was really, really good. Beats Tyler Glasnow at Dodger Stadium. I love it.
Think about this. Last year, C.J. Abrams hit 18 home runs, which for a shortstop who stole 50 bases and who has the ability maybe to steal 60 at some point in his career with his speed, you know, hitting 18 to 20 home runs is not nothing. That's a pretty big deal. And if he did that every year for the rest of his career, I think we'd all take that and be very, very happy if he plays plus defense and runs the way he has so far in his career. But he did that last year, homering every 30 or so at-bats. Right around 31 ABs at a time, he would hit a home run. He is going deep right now every 13 at-bats through 13 games. Already with 4 on the season, the latest of which a 400-foot bomb last night. And it actually looked, because his home runs are always traditionally so far gone, it looked for his standards more like a wall scraper. And then you look it up, and it was a 400-foot missile last evening, as heard right here on The Fan for C.J. Abrams.
3-2 offering. Swinging a blast. Deep right center field for Abrams. Back Hernandez looking up. This one's going to go. It is gone. Right over the 375 mark in right center field. C.J. Abrams ties the game. That is home run number 4 for Abrams. The Nationals 2 and the Dodgers 2.
Don't look now, Danny, but in addition to Abrams who's off to a fast start, another left-handed hitter in the lineup's been raking. Luis Garcia, the 23-year-old who's still top 5 in terms of youth at the second base position in baseball right now among starters, believe it or not. I think I saw somewhere today he was the 4th youngest second baseman qualifying number of at-bats so far. He's hitting .320 with an .880 OPS early on, homered last night, a game-turning 3-run home run. But he's off to a tremendous start in what the team has not really hidden. They've essentially publicly stated it, not in so many words, in what is his last opportunity here,
like a direct
try
challenge
to salvage
to him.
A job, and he's making the most of it.
Yeah, I've had a soft spot for him that I probably shouldn't have. I know a lot of fans are irritated by some of the same mistakes and whether it's the routine play that he boots or a base running error, or you know, you hear kind of the reports where at times they were frustrated he was out of shape a little bit.
He's got some Victor Robles to him,
and I get it. I understand that. To me, he's still got elite bat to ball. And if you can do that, it's almost like I'm just sitting there so determined, and I still believe you can learn some of the other stuff because you can't teach that. And he's, you know, off to a really nice start. Now, how sustainable is this? I'm not talking about a .320 average, you know, and a mid-800s OPS. I don't think that's in the cards for him, certainly. But can he be an everyday second baseman? I still think so, even though when it wasn't popular to do so. But it's good for him that he's off to a nice start. I like it when guys respond to those kind of challenges. Because they're upfront about it. They told him privately. They told everyone publicly, last chance, dude. We got a couple kids on the way, right? So you either fit in now or you're replaced because now we've got options. We didn't before, and you were allowed to kind of futz around and make your mistakes. No more time for that. Even though you're still really young, we got replacements on the way.
To be clear, that was futz around.
That is correct. What I said, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. For FCC purposes, that was futz.
F-U-T-Z.
Around. Mm-hmm. Looking for... Not the one you thought it was. So Patrick Corbin tonight against the Dodgers out of Chavez Ravine. Game 2 of a 3-game set. Matinee tomorrow, so they will take over our time slot and make our show shorter. But hopefully they'll be looking for a sweep when they do it if Corbin can handle his business tonight. We're 9 days away from the NFL draft. 9 days from now, we will know who the future quarterback of the Washington Commanders is. They're trying to answer that question as we speak. Right now at their team complex in Ashburn, where at the park, they've got, according to reports, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and maybe even Michael Penix all sitting shoulder to shoulder like students in a classroom answering questions in front of a whiteboard. Let's get into the uniqueness of how they're going about these meetings right before the draft next on G&D.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks to Earl for the update. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, with you on the Fan. Much appreciate you making the show part of your day. Remember, the Commanders are looking to draft their generational quarterback soon. You shouldn't forget to think about your next generation. As the exclusive sponsor for our show, the law firm of Condori and Murad will guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you draft your will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com right now. Be sure to tell them Grant and Danny sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. You just heard Earl mention this, Danny. The Commanders, 9 days from the NFL draft. On this, the eve now of the deadline, to meet with prospects ahead of the draft in your own facility. So as of tomorrow, those interviews, those meetings are ending. And then at the end of the night, you can't have them at your facility again. They're bringing everybody in at once.
It's weird.
Reporting today is that Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and I've even seen a report that Michael Penix is in their building as we speak and will be over the next 24 hours. And then Nikki Javala reported that, according to what's been clarified to her, covers the team for the Washington Post, that they're even going to be in the same room at the same time, taking part in some of the same, for lack of a better word, activations, activities, like parts of this process.
Games of Pictionary, the whole nine yards.
Is this not one of the strangest things you've heard?
So it is, but then I saw somewhere that this is how they did it in San Francisco also. So, I don't know if it makes me feel better or worse. It just is. It's a data point. There's at least a methodology to it. It seems like it's not just we forgot to book the travel. Let's just get everyone in the last day, or we got snowed in and everybody was stuck, and so they can only come this one day. This seems purposeful. It seems intentional to do it this way.
It's obviously purposeful and it's obviously intentional. But help me with this. I'm not suggesting they forgot to book something. And this is kind of what they do. It's pretty important. The whole organization's next few years is on the line here with this pick. You've got weeks and weeks to have all these guys in and poke and prod and meet and interview and get all the time you want. How could it be beneficial to have them all in, crammed right at the end against the gun at the final hour of the process? The one thing a lot of people tweeted me, I'm at Grant H. Paulson, Danny's at Funny Danny, when I mentioned how odd I think it is that they're doing it this way, is this is how you find out who the alpha is, or competition's a good thing. And I think that's probably true, but this is far from the norm. Teams have been doing this to figure out which quarterback they're going to take for a long time. This is not that common. I'm not telling you it's bad or it's wrong. I'm just surprised, and really, I find it curious. It is
interesting.
Compelling to me.
So our buddy Kevin McCarthy, who's with Fox 5 locally, does the movie reviews, is just loves cinema and loves all things about making movies and pictures and things like that. He does these press junkets where these stars, he sits down with Brad Pitt and George Clooney. They've already talked to 77 different people who are like, who would win in a fight? Your character from Troy versus your character from Fight Club. They've answered all those questions a million times. So Kevin asked totally different and interesting things to try to get the good content, to get the good clip, right? That's like his MO. That's his thought process, is to ask something really thoughtful, to change it up. These guys have been on every interview and every one of these visits where just want to help the team win one day at a time, I want to work hard, want to be the first man in, last man out, and I want to do everything I possibly can to help this team win playoff games. Thank you. Go to the next one. Say the same thing. This is getting out of your comfort zone. This is different. Again, I'm not advocating for it one way or the other. I don't know. I haven't been through this process, certainly. But it does stand out in a way. Also, because it's at the very end, you're probably, if you're one of these quarterbacks, tired of this. That's all you've been doing is glad-handed people and sucking up to execs and telling everybody how excited you are and this privilege and this thing and I'm going to work hard. You're exhausted from doing all of it. So again, you're kind of testing the adversity. What are you going to do when you're exhausted? When you've been cramming the playbook and you've been in the recovery tub and you're the first man in, you haven't slept enough, you watched all the film. Are you going to be patient with the receiver who doesn't run that right route that time? You're going to correct it. Are you going to go the extra mile to do the right thing? I'm guessing at all these things. I'm reaching for straws, but there's got to be a reason for it, and that's the best I can come up with.
I'm shooting the messenger. You're giving me a college try, and I appreciate that.
Why are you mad at me?
I'm not upset at you.
What did I do?
All of the things you just said, though, you can accomplish if they're interviewing on their own. Like, there's nothing added to what you were just suggesting by them all sitting shoulder to shoulder. And I've had a bunch of people tell me, hey, I interviewed this way in my field, or this is common in what I do, and then they tell me what they do. I am quite sure there are industries where this is the norm. This, to me, feels like Men in Black, where Agent J shows up in the room, and they're all sitting at the tables, and they want to see who's going to drag the table over so that they can not break their pencil or poke a hole through the sheet. You remember that scene?
Of course.
He, like, drags the big table over.
Yeah.
And, like, okay, he did it. He got the table.
Intergalactic kegger.
Are they trying to see if Drake May or Jaden Daniels goes up and drags the table over? Like, that's what it feels
something
to me.
Something like that, yeah.
When they're getting people up on the board and they're saying, all right, what do we think about this player? What would you do differently here? Is Penix answering, and then they want, like, J.J. McCarthy to alpha him? You know, to basically, like, nah, dude, bad idea, because the linebacker is going to see that and do this. I guess that's instructive, and I am all for competition. Again, I'm not saying this is bad at all. It might be the best way ever to do it. I have no idea. I just have never heard of this. And to your point, I did have someone over there say, hey, they did this in San Francisco. I think Adam brought it with him. So, cool. They're a really good organization that do things really well. I don't know how often they've been picking a quarterback at the top of the board that they would have had people in at the same time. The last time they were, they made a terrible choice with Trey Lance. Now, I certainly hope that wasn't Adam Peters, and if it was, I don't have a problem with that. As I've said all along, you're not going to bat 1,000. You're going to get some things wrong. It doesn't mean you're not really good at this or you don't have a really high batting average, but I am just very curious about the decision to do it this way. You have, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say months, but certainly weeks to find time on everyone's schedule to get them in for, let's do a dinner, and then the next day spend 4 hours together at the facility. And rather than spacing it out, you do it this way. I'd be curious to see what people think about this process. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We can take your calls on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Up against the deadline here. Everyone's in the house at the same time. And I don't know if you saw this, but Josh Harris will be sitting in on the meetings as well. I'm sure that'll be some big deal with certain fans, or they'll overreact. Please understand that owners are going to want to be briefed and at times involved, which is a pejorative but doesn't need to be. You're scarred by Dan Snyder. Involved can mean sitting there. Involved can mean monitoring. Involved can mean watching, right? Head coach, GM, quarterback. Those three jobs, those three hires, an owner who spends billions of dollars on a team is always going to be somewhat involved in that process, Danny. Now, if he is sitting in and afterwards goes, I like Drake May, take Drake May, now we got ourselves a story, right? But assuming that's not going to happen, and there's no reason to think that it would, that he would tell Adam Peters what to do, to me that's a nothing story, but we're in D.C., where we spent a lot of time, for lack of a better analogy, I guess, being cheated on, and now we're just assuming, because our spouse has to work after hours, that they're cheating on us.
Yeah, they're texting someone in secret.
Everybody relax, okay? Yes, the owner will be in on the most important meetings had in Ashburn over the next 5 years that are taking place right now. He's a little bit interested in this product that he just spent billions of dollars on.
So I get that. I also don't like it. I think you can have it two ways there. We'll excuse it because we like Josh Harris, right? If you found out, if you're a Colts fan, you found out that Ursay is in the meeting, you'd go, oh, crap. You found out that Mark Davis is in the meeting, you'd go, oh, no. Right? Because you could tell already that this guy is going to screw it up and poison the waters and fall in love with somebody and make the team do something because it's his whim. And you get the same explanation. Well, he paid billions for it, so he can do what he wants. My hope, of course, is that Josh Harris is supremely competent. And I have every reason to believe so far that he is. And that all he's doing is taking the notes to be what a good leader does in the situation. So what should happen is he observes and listens and does nothing. Then at the very end, when Peters and company come to him with our conclusions, he should be like a district attorney going cross-examination style, making everybody prove and argue for their player or case or idea, right? Having all the ammunition you could possibly need to make it difficult for them to do so. Not to undermine them, but to make it, you're defending your idea here. You're not just saying, I'm going with my gut. I don't want your gut. I want a well-presented, thoughtful explanation as to why we're going to commit to somebody for the future of our franchise for the next 5 years. That's what he should be doing. And that's my hope, is that's how it's going to go. We get a bunch of reports over the years that that's how he's supportive. That's great. We'll all be fine. But there's a way to avoid any kind of people like me wondering. You could just not. You could not sit in there.
But if I'm Josh Harris, I don't need to avoid. I'm not joning on you, but I don't care what people wonder about. There's a correct and an incorrect way to do things. That's kind of a binary, and being in the meeting is not the incorrect way to do it. Being overly demanding and calling the shots is the issue. And I think people have conflated the two. People now think that if an owner is present, that's bad. Not bad at all. A guy that runs a restaurant, being at the restaurant and seeing what's needed and what's not in the kitchen and seeing how people operate and who's good and who isn't, especially when a lot of people have been held over to your and other people's chagrins, and he wants to see, well, what do those people do and are they any good? The people that I haven't hired that were here before me, what do I think of them? That makes a lot of sense to me. So I will not have any issues with Harris being involved. I actually think, even though it's a pejorative, involvement from an owner is way better than not being involved. That's actually worse. The difference becomes when you are controlling and when you call the shots, which I think is a kind of a different thing. But getting back to this idea of having all of them meet together for this job that they're all interviewing for in one of the most awkward job interviews I've heard about in a while, let's see what people think about that. 800-636-1067. Reports today are that the big three, especially Daniels, May, McCarthy, are in some of the activities going to be taking part in them together. And it sounds like maybe even Penix at some point in this process in Ashburn as well. What do you make of that? G&D on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Commanders are interviewing Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix all between now and the deadline Wednesday night to get those in-person chats in. What's odd is that they're going to do some of these interviews with all the players in the room together. What do you think of that? 800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Ernest in West Virginia on Grant and Danny. Hello, Ernest. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? I'm just great, great. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, look, before I say what I need to say on that one, I just wanted to, Danny, I remember Grant a couple of weeks ago, you were comparing your impersonation with Josh Harris and
Spencer Carberry, yeah.
Right? Yeah. I'm gonna tell you something. You got Josh Harris down packed because you were talking, I think it might have been a couple of weeks ago anyway, and I swear I thought you were interviewing or you all were talking to Josh Harris.
Just a casual Harris drop-in.
That was right there. I'm like, man. But anyway, but I think, you know, them doing that, what they're doing, interviewing all at or having all in all at one time, that's thinking out of the box. And it's like, that's exactly what I like. And thinking out of the box, doing something different than the normal. Because that normalcy doesn't get you anywhere. But, you know, being a billionaire, you know, you have to do something odd or something different and have a team that can, you know, do something different. And I just think it will translate to the season. You'll see a lot of different things that's, you know, not normal. And,
well, we're going to see. Appreciate the phone call. I mean, here's what I would say to that, Danny, is I don't think the Chiefs are necessarily reinventing the wheel with how they do things, right? They got Mahomes. They've got some talent. Andy Reid's really good at what he does, and they win a lot of games. There's no doubt that this group's out of the box. I mean, we have heard that phrase from a bunch of reporters every step of the way, from going and getting Bob Myers and him having helped with the search and all the way through the process. If the results end up working, then they're brilliant. You know, otherwise, they got creative and they got cute, and it didn't work. Like, we're going to work back from the result. As an example, and we'll see, that the Dan Quinn hire is still very much up in the air, in my opinion. It wasn't my desired landing spot. He seems to have put together a heck of a staff. It's still kind of incomplete at the moment. But just as an example, the day they hired Dan Quinn, they had a really kind of out-of-the-box slash strange process, I thought, and it resulted in Dan Quinn, which was, like, not that impressive to me. Now, it might end up working out great, but I guess my point is, out-of-the-box is not necessarily, like, just definitively a good thing. It's a different thing. I'm open to it. I'm interested. I'm excited for it. But let's see where the results are.
I think that's fair. It's fair to say, right? Like, outside the box doesn't guarantee success. Like, Jim Zorn was out of the box with his quarterback drills when he got here to Washington. I'd like to put him right back in that box and ship that thing right back. Thank you. Let's do an Amazon easy return. But I see your point in general. You don't want to just try to be a slave to convention when other people's conventions are better than yours.
Let's go to Jim in Spotsylvania on Grant and Danny. What's up, Jim? How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. First off, Danny, when he was spitballing, nailed it, pulled up several things. This is not an out-of-the-box moment. This is some tradecraft that I happen to teach and use for other agencies when we're gathering human intelligence. They will use individual baselining and meet with people individually, and then they're going to have group activities where they actually look for deviations and variations. And that's where you really come up with divergent thinking and a lot of outstanding skill sets being identified. So that unexpected statement, unexpected question, that group dynamics, there's a whole lot more to this, but we use this in behavioral modeling. It's some advanced technique. It's not out of the box.
Let me ask you a follow-up on that because I'm interested in this. So
yeah,
your point is they have done interviews, by the way, to be clear. They interviewed these guys at the combine. They've had Zooms. They've done a bunch of different mm-hmm. things with these players. But your point is they're using those interviews and those results as basically the baseline sample, and then they're going to work off of what they do around these other guys and compare it for maybe like individual analyses on each player?
In sum and substance, yes. You're nailing it. It's interesting you use the analogy of dragging the desk out of the old movie, but there's more to it than that. But that is, in essence, what they're doing. But they will do individual interviews, or I'll say bumps and elicitations, during the day with these people. And then there'll also be group moments and then breakaway moments. So it's not a one, like, hey, everybody in the room one time, we're done. This is a process that you stage, and this is a layered moment that you do over a 3-4, maybe 5-hour period.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, I'm not like inside the building. Obviously, I don't think anybody is at this point to figure out exactly what it is that they're doing and how they're doing it. I don't know if it's to that level, honestly, but this is just a different way to kind of make these guys that have been, coached to do all these things. Like there's schools that basically guys go to now to like figure out how to run fast for the combine, how to do the 3-cone drill really well. Like the IMGs of the world, like pay for that stuff so guys can maybe earn a little bit more money in improving their draft stock. They've been coached up to do all these kinds of things, so why not get them out of their comfort zone a little bit and sort of, put them in a slightly more adverse environment and see how they respond?
I want to get more into Harris's involvement and what you hope his role is and isn't in some of these meetings. Coming up next hour, we could do that at about 3:25. But as soon as we return on Grant and Danny right at the top of the hour, Tariq El-Bashir of Monumental Sports is going to join us. I've been doing some alt casts with him, worked with him last evening. He covers the Caps in the NHL. The Capitals play a play-in game tonight. If they win, they get into the playoffs, and they will take on the New York Rangers in the first round. If they lose in regulation, they're eliminated. If they lose in overtime, there is a small chance they could still get in with a bunch of help. But basically, this is a win-and-in elimination game for the Capitals. We'll talk to Tariq about that next on Grant and Danny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.